grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it.
Sometimes I wish I could blow like a puff of cannabis smoke into someone's face, kind of like Datura dust. But I wouldn't rob the house. It's just to help them out, you know? Hey, Chris, how's it going?
Yeah, g'day. Good afternoon. And on that note...
Just like a magical little genie. Just like a genie, little puff of genie smoke, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, okay.
Just, would it glow in the dark?
I've got a bong under my cape, like, yeah.
If you rub it the right way, the cannabis genie might appear.
Yassum. Speaking of, you're basically our cannabis genie. What's going on in the DAC world, mate?
Well, I have gazed into, is a crystal ball appropriate for a genie?
Cannabis genie, so there's no rules with a cannabis genie. Do what you want.
Yeah, that's right. We make our own rules.
Well, there aren't any rules for us, yeah.
Well, speaking of rules, there's still a rule around you're not allowed to use cannabis, possess it, grow it, or sell it. Apparently, that's still the law, and certainly post-referendum result. But it turns out the number of New Zealanders in court, this was revealed by NewsHub this week, number of New Zealanders in court for cannabis-related crimes has dropped again, yet again. And so they just keep dropping every year, which is actually pretty cool, really, when you think about it on one respect. Down to 4,197 compared to about 14,000 10 years ago. And if we go back to the late 90s, it was approaching 30,000 at its peak of police zealotry for arresting people.
Is it a combination of people being able to grow things without the police knowing, the police not trying as hard, general public vibing out on cannabis a bit more, all that together?
There's a little bit of that. There's a bit of, reading the room, something that some people are good at and some people aren't, and especially online, I guess. We all see that. But the police are kind of reading the room of where society is at, and they're choosing to arrest fewer people. They're heeding the reports of people like the Law Commission that called on them to stop doing it, and other reports such as the one into criminal justice that Chester Burrows, the former national minister that he led. So I think they're doing what the politicians are failing to do, which is, reading where society is at. And we saw that in the referendum. Half the country voted yes, half voted no. And when you have that kind of outcome, I mean, yes, the law hasn't changed, but also the current law becomes unenforceable at that point. So the police are, we've got to give them a bit of credit for that. But having said that, the downside is down to their discretion and who they're choosing to arrest. And I just want to give a little hat tip to a friend of mine, Tom Atkinson, for doing an Official Information Act request. And he's found out that actually the warrantless searches that police are doing have increased dramatically. So if we go back that same period that they're saying that the arrests have gone down, but actually the warrantless searches have gone right up. So even just in 1 year, 2019, 10,865, 2020, 22,607. So
warrantless.
These are warrants.
So that's kind of like a shoot first, ask questions later type police stuff.
Yeah. You have the Bill of Rights that supposedly protects you from unreasonable search and seizure, but the police can then just completely circumvent that and say, I'm just going to search you anyway. And it's pretty strange, to be honest.
It kind of feels like the cops are sort of doing what they want around cannabis these days anyway. Like, the government has no idea what they're doing. They're always surprised by their announcements. So there's a little bit of a disjointment there that needs to be sorted out.
Yeah. I think we're all seeing a bit of that, and that's not good for anyone, to have kind of confusion and uncertainty, and much better for a bit like, if the police are going to kind of make up their own policies and that, but then state it so that we all know what the story is. So, for example, like with speeding, where they say, right, you can go 60 or 110, or certain times they go, no, it's 5Ks, and then they say, no, this weekend, but everyone knows what their tolerance is. And I think given that the police are clearly tolerating it for some people, and then for others, maybe they aren't, just to say what those circumstances are, tell us, you know, if it's 10 grams in public, or if it's under 5 plants at home, whatever it is, tell us the circumstances.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier for individual officers too, because you're not asking that individual officer caught on the scene to kind of make it up on the spot and then have to go to court, and then their boss is saying, what did you do this case for? Or they're saying, why did you let them go for? Or, you know, so
that city block is already messed up.
Chris, is there an official set of circumstances for the police to be able to do an unwarranted search? Is there like a...
guns on the premise, some shit like that probably?
Well, it's mostly under the Search and Surveillance Act, and it does have some kind of criteria in there, but basically, you know, reasonable suspicion that you're up to something, and that's pretty much it.
It's pretty loose.
Very.
Yeah, it is. And I guess they've done that kind of term because the Bill of Rights says you're protected from unreasonable search. And so if the Search and Surveillance one says, well, no, you can do it if it's reasonable. So, you know, they're
reasonably racist, though, no doubt, if we zoom in and clean all that shit up.
Potentially, yeah. And this is something that the government has signaled they're going to look at, but we still haven't seen any kind of action there, you know, what's actually happening. And, you know, they said it around the referendum and the election time that perhaps their attempt at decrim hadn't worked because it had given the police discretion, you know, rather than giving them clarity and guidance, and instead it's actually made it more murky.
I'm curious
and certainly the early stats have shown that the discrimination against Māori in particular has remained. So it's something that they need to look at, and as I say, I think putting a bit of clarity in there is something that they could quite easily do. And really, we've got to keep that pressure up on them and call on the police minister and other relevant ministers like Andrew Little and of course, Jacinda Ardern herself, and get them get their minds focused on this. I know they've got lots of important things on their plate too, but, you know, if they can find a bit of time to make sure that there's a bit of focus on that too. This is something that I think we could get change on quite soon.
Have the cops ever mentioned... the quality of the cannabis over the years? Has it gotten better or worse in their eyes? Have they ever mentioned that?
They don't really test for strength anymore.
Right.
It's a bit disappointing. They just, it's only if people are, you know, object and plead not guilty and put it to an issue, and then they just have to say whether it's cannabis or not, what the strength is.
Oh, wow.
That's
mean
stuff. Yeah, they're not really keeping that kind of, you know, and to be honest, the terminology tends to be a bit outdated when you hear them write about it. They talk about cannabis head, and they don't tend to put in all the terminology of today, even the word skunk. But the other thing, just as a brief mention too, it was in the news this week, and this was again from NewsHub, and it was again about the police and they're kind of half-hearted enthusiasm for cannabis law reform at the moment. They're budgeting just $580,000 to eradicate cannabis this year.
That's quite a lot of money, though, isn't it?
It's actually a tiny amount of money in terms of their spending. I mean, I think the police budget is you know, a few billion dollars. Mm. And certainly the last time we tallied up cannabis law enforcement, it was well over $300 million that the police were spending. You know, 580K, it's kind of symbolic more than anything, so that they can say, oh, look, we are kind of doing something. But
what can you do with
where they were at in the past?
What can you do with $580,000 in the kitty to eradicate cannabis? What do you think? Is it a couple of people sitting on a desk?
It's probably like 2 or 3 days of helicopter would be, you know, for the whole country would probably chew that up. You know, there's certainly not a lot there, and each region that wants to do it would have to bid, so that this money might not be spent. This is a region has to say, hey, we want to have some of that money, and given that the police bosses have actually just said, well, we don't really think the helicopters are a good spend of that money, and then if a region does apply, they'd have to have a pretty good justification for it, I think. So certainly I'm not expecting to see any helicopters in the sky this season. There hasn't been so far, and I don't think we're going to see any for the rest of the year, which is a bloody good thing. But then they can get on with, you know, real crime and, you know, finding missing people and other good.
Is that what they're actually going to do, though? Have they said what they're going to do with the money that they're not going to spend on finding cannabis, or are they just sort of, everyone gets a pay
rise? Well, it's just... better used for other things, right? When you think about all those things, like why doesn't my burglary get solved and that kind of thing, it's because everything's prioritized. So every minute that an officer spends on cannabis is a minute that they can't spend on something else. So, it just frees them up for better things, the more important things.
Are there any native species that eat cannabis, Chris, in the wild or out in the bush?
That eat it, did you say?
Yeah, like any birds that feed on it or creatures that...
Not really, like I don't think birds are particularly attracted to it, other than the seeds. They do like nibbling away on the seeds and they'll kind of spread those. But actually, one of the things, when hemp was first introduced, 2006, when the first hemp trials that Nando was instrumental in getting going, and they had to treat it like it was a new thing and had never occurred in New Zealand before, even though obviously it's been around for a long time. But according to officialdom, this has never been here. And as part of its biosecurity, they did grow some hemp and wave it in the faces of some kiwi and pukeko and a couple of other species. And to see if they might have an allergic reaction and drop dead or get addicted to it and start munching away. It passed both tests, shall we say. So that was good to know. That's some good science there, good hard science.
Now, Chris Valley, you've sent through an RNZ
little hat tip
link
to RNZ.
It's
here.
Good to see they've got a sense of humour. You've sent through medicinal cannabis, too expensive, hard to get, coming through from a lobby group. And the audio piece that has been put together for RNZ is 4 minutes and 20 seconds long.
That's got to be Tony Stamps doing.
Hilarious. So I noticed that too. I thought, what is up with that?
Someone says their rabbit loves it. My dog has eaten the sun leaves off the plant one time. Well, not my dog, but the dog.
There you go. Not native to New Zealand, I'll just point out there. So that's all that kind of counts.
Good point.
Kind of thing.
Good point.
So that Radio New Zealand story, that was Mike Roddy, spokesperson for Medical Cannabis Awareness New Zealand, doing an interview on RNZ earlier in the week, Morning Report, talking about the medical cannabis scheme, which of course we've talked about a lot, but basically saying that it hasn't really helped patients in terms of products are either not available or super expensive, or they're being patients are being kind of forced. Not forced, but finding the only kind of option available for them in many situations is to go to a specialist cannabis clinic because their own doctor might be unwilling to prescribe or not educated enough or not confident enough. And the cannabis clinics sometimes are charging patients a little bit more than what some patients are comfortable paying. And some of them are also offering products directly to patients, which MCANS is saying can put patients at risk if those products haven't been tested and you don't actually know what the strength is and the doctors aren't providing good guidance to go along with it. So in my mind, these are all problems or issues that are resolvable through education to doctors and things. But in my
subsidies
mind, actually, it's
for
a
healthy
good thing
things
having
as well,
clinic
you know?
Available. Pardon?
Subsidies for healthy things. Like I'm about this for vegetables and stuff. You know, we have an obese population, they reckon, but you have to pay through the nose for decent produce, and it should be subsidized, you know, just like medicinal medicines. Like natural medicines. It should be prioritized.
Yeah, well, I guess
if
they
can't
kind of take that away, and they say that's an issue for Pharmac, but there is a Pharmac investigation or inquiry that's just been released, and they're interested to hear from people about how they operate and their decision-making and what they're kind of subsidizing. So, my understanding is that the number of applications for medicinal cannabis subsidies that have been approved by Pharmac, you could count them on one hand.
Right.
It's a couple here and there, whereas the Ministry of Health's own estimate is a couple of 100,000 patients, using it right now illegally. So, what's been in the news is that these clinics, some of them are providing products that haven't gone through the assessment that other products have to go through. And I guess there's a couple of issues there. One of them was canvassed in an article that was published on Business Desk this week. It was behind a paywall. But that was talking about it from an industry point of view, that by the doctors providing these products directly to patients that sometimes they've imported from America and places like that, that it's undermining the viability of a local cannabis industry.
Yep.
And that if the local cannabis industry can't get going, the long term, that it won't be of any help to patients. And so, you know, perhaps this might be seen as a loophole that needs to be tightened up or something. I don't quite see it as that way. This is actually the same as what a doctor can do for any other medicine. Like any doctor can provide any unapproved medicine to any patient if that's what they're choosing to do. And so if we put a rule in place and said, no, you can't do that for cannabis, then you've now made cannabis more difficult than other medicines. And that's not the point of the scheme, you know. So in my mind, the solution here is not to sort of call this a loophole and sort of get on the case and start harassing doctors that are actually helping patients. You know, they're actually prescribing medical cannabis. I think they should be applauded. But there are other things. If the viability of a local industry is the issue, if that's what's under threat, or if it's risky, and if all these businesses are barely viable, and they're thinking we need the rules changed, the government can help us, well, look at those other rules, but let's support those doctors that are prescribing cannabis rather than trying to shut them down.
Well, Chris, we've run out of bed. I think we had one
probably
more,
a while back there, but yeah, I've run out of ideas.
That's okay. That's totally fine. And, you know, next week's another Thursday. So hopefully we see you face to face or whatever. And I implore everyone to still order their goods from the hemp store. You still can, no doubt, online. So keep on keeping on.
We're doing the online and the click and collect, you know, by appointment. We've got that going. And, that'd be great. I hope everyone's going well out there. And, you know, if they've got access to CBD, it's good for anxiety and for relaxing and for helping people sleep. So they say. I'd hate to say make any kind of claim about it, but hopefully this will all be over by the weekend, and we can get back to not quite life as normal, but getting there.
Kapai. Thanks, mate.
All right. Catch you guys. Sure. See ya.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.